four, five, six, eight.
We have 14. 14 articles there. Okay. It's principle number 8, but on this page it's line number 6.
So on page 178?
No, page 14, the Yigdal.
14, we're doing that Yigdal before the
Anamim. Oh, what?
We don't like the Anamim as much, because they're not as accurate. So we do the Yigdal.
What page is it?
14. God gave a Torah of truth to his nation. On the hand, literally, it means through, via, his prophet, the most trusted of his household. What does he want here by Torah MS? Torah MS, the Torah of truth, God gave Moses not only the written law, but the oral law as well. Neither is complete without the other, and the Torah of truth is a term that includes both. Okay, that's interesting. I would not have defined emes the same way the art scroll does. But emes is a very important word, it's a very elusive word, and we're going to spend some time today talking about emes. But let's sort of go over the principle in general, which is, the principle is, and this is one of the key principles in Judaism, all 13 are key, but we mentioned at the beginning of the year that the Sefer Ikarim reduces the 13 principles of the Rambam to 3. And those are God, Torah, and reward and punishment. He says those are the basic 3. The other 9 you can peg in, the other 10 you can peg in to those, never good at arithmetic. The other 10 you can peg into those 3 and find them pigeonholed in as subcategories. But the 3 primary categories are God, Torah, and the reward and punishment. So this is the principle of Torah. Now, the previous principle led into this principle. Because the previous principle said that Moses' prophecy, Moshe Rabbeinu, is unique. And it's above and beyond every prophecy. And we said that Moshe Rabbeinu did not have visions and images, but rather, word for word, got the word of God. Okay? One language which you saw is Shechina medaberes mitoch grono, the divine presence spoken out of his mouth. That was the prelude to this principle, because this principle then posits that besides, since Moshe Rabbeinu was a precise conduit of the word of God, then the Torah which he brought down is therefore the Torah from God. Okay, now let's see how the Anamim phrases that on page 178, it says. Yes, 178, in the Ashkenaz in Rome, at least. Now, the Anamim is a little bit more encompassing than the Yigdal. He says, number 8 is, Anamim b'emunah shlema, shekol ha-Torah ha-Metzuyah ha-Tzodiyah Zeynu, hi-an tsunol ha-Moshe Rabbeinu lov ha-Shalom. I believe with complete faith that the entire Torah now in our hands is the same one that was given to Moses, our teacher, peace be upon him. So it says in the Bible, the entire Torah is God-given. Every word of the Torah is dictated to Moses by God. In Rambam's classic formulation, all the rest of the Torah are of equal sanctity, and there is no difference between the apparently trivial verses and the children of Ham or Cush and his wife's name was Mei Havel, and the ultimately important verses, I am Hashem, your God, and hero Israel. Moreover, the same applies to oral law that explains the Torah, always given by God to Moses. Now, again, this is more comprehensive than the Yigdal, because the word kol ha-Torah. The question is, how do you define kol ha-Torah? What does it mean, kol ha-Torah? How do we define the entirety of Torah? We've learned many times the Torah is, infinite. So what do you define as kol ha-Torah? We'll come back to that. But that's not today. Let's go back to emes today. So emes is a fascinating word. Right? That's emes. Emes, of course, the first letter of the alphabet, the 22nd letter of the alphabet, and what's mem?
The middle.
Yeah, but it's not precise because it's 22 letters. 1, 2,
13.
It's 13?
Yeah. But, actually...
But it's the middle of the... I'm sorry.
Yeah, if you include the Sophie letters, I think.
That's the middle?
That's the middle letter.
Okay. It's still off.
It's 14. It's the 14th letter.
So it's 14?
Okay, yeah,
it's the middle one.
That's true. I never heard that one before. Wait.
That's the Rabbi Braun.
Rabbi Braun said that? Okay. I got to give him credit for that one. That's very good. So, the of course, the fascinating thing about the word MS is that take off the olive and what do you get?
Mace.
So what does it mean? If you take off the olive, you get mace. Death is the absence of the one. Who is the one? Hashem. And therefore, the MS is the word which teaches us that in order for there to be something real in the world, as opposed to something dead, something alive, as opposed to something dead, you have to have Hashem involved. Now, that's a cute way of looking at the word. But I understand the concept of MS, which is a far more difficult thing to understand. The Gemara says, as the Chazal say, I forget exactly where it is, Chosomo Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu MS. The Chosom is like the signet ring, the stamp. The stamp of God is truth. And there's a fascinating letter which says that at the beginning of creation, as we saw in Bereshit, God consulted all the various different angels and spiritual forces before creating them. And in Shemayim, Chesed Shved, Chesed is kindness. Chesed said God should be, man should be created. Because Kulo Chatzadim, he does Chesed all the time. Right? Emet said he should not be created. Because Kulo Shkarim, he lies all the time. So what did Hashem do? So Hashem created man, and he threw Emet down to the ground. He threw Emet down to the earth. And that's what Gemara says. That's why we find the pasuk. I forget what the pasuk is. Eov maybe. Emes me'oret tismach. Actually, the end of the pasuk is tzedek. I don't think it's Eov. I don't remember. Mishamayim nishkach. It says Emes grows from the land. Justice comes from the heavens. It looks down from the heavens. So there's a couple of facts in here. First of all, what exactly does it mean, truth grows from the land? That's very strange, right? Besides that, what's the difference between truth and justice? What's the difference between truth and justice? And we would assume that justice is true, and truth is just. But it says here, emes mi'or tismach v'tzedek mishamayim v'shtah. They're two separate terms. Right? Yes.
But wasn't Yitzchak Avinu Mishpat, the idea of Mishpat and judgment and justice, and Yaakov fused that with the Chesed of Abraham to get MS?
Mm-hmm. So there's a very good point you're raising, which is that when we talk about the midos of the Avos, it says, Titein MS for Yaakov, Chesed la Abraham. Says that Emes is associated with Yaakov, and Chet with Avram, and although it doesn't say in the Pasuk, we associate Din, or Justice, Tzedek, with Yitzchak. Now, the paramount classic deception, lie, in Chumash, is associated with Yaakov. Right? What did Yaakov do in order to steal the brachos? He stole them. He deceived Yitzchak, right? Yet, at the same time, we associate Emes with Yaakov. Despite the fact that Yaakov practiced the first major fraud, deception, in Jewish history that we know of, nevertheless, he's associated with Emes. That was a very, very difficult concept. Because on the other hand, the Gemara says, now from this, what would you say about Emes? So it's saying truth is relative. It depends on the situation, right? Sometimes truth is to tell the truth. And sometimes truth is to do the right thing. Right? And therefore, since the right thing was for Yaakov to get the brachos, not Esav, because Rivka told him, so therefore, that's Emes in that situation. However, there's a Gemara in Sanhedrin. Gemara in Sanhedrin says that, yeah.
Well, you could also read it as Titen is like future tense.
He's lacking Emes.
Right.
Right. But that's not the way Chazal interpreted it. They interpreted that Emes is the trait of Yaakov. You're right. The symbol of Shavuot says, I guess because Avram didn't eat Chesed. Avram was a paradigm of Chesed.
Right.
So we assume that each one is linked to their attributes, to their midah. Now, the fascinating Gemara in the end of Sanhedrin. The Gemara in the end of Sanhedrin says that there's a town called Luz. And the town of Luz is a city where nobody ever dies. And nobody ever dies because they never tell lies. And a certain Amora came to the city, I forget his name. Some Amora came to the city, and when he came to the city, he married somebody from that town. And once, when his wife was taking a shower, she was bathing, a neighbor came to the door and asked where his wife, if she could speak to his wife. So he said, she's out, or something like that, a wife lie, not saying that she's in the shower, right? So his two kids died. So the people of the city were astounded. Nobody ever dies in the city, right? How could this Amora's two kids ever die in the city? So the Gemara says that they asked him, and he said, this is the incident. So they said, please leave. Because that is not emes. To say that your wife is somewhere else when she's in the shower is not true. So therefore, that it runs against the grain of our city, and that's why you brought death upon us. Now, I don't know the Gemara to be taken literally. I highly doubt it. We have no record of the city of immortals, where people live forever, maybe was destroyed. But it's unlikely that the Gemara is to be taken literally. But the Gemara is saying a fascinating thing. The Gemara seems to be contradicting the notion of emes as relative. It seems to say that the Gemara, the notion of emes is absolute. There is no relativity in emes. That's what it seems to be saying. Moreover, another interesting fact, which is that the loose bone is a bone in the spine. And Chazal tell us that the loose bone is the bone from which Tchiyas HaMeisim occurs. Yeah, maybe that's even the article too. Let's see.
Thank God.
Ramalka,
Ramalka, right. So let's look at Ramalka.
What's the last word after Mishamat, what's the last word?
Mishkaf.
Mishkaf.
I don't think they have Lava Malka in here. It says Smiros.
It should be right after
Abdullah?
Abdullah.
It doesn't say anything about Lava Malka that I can find.
The
amazing gods, they have the smears, but they don't say one's supposed to have a lava malka to accompany the smears. So in any event, very strange. So in any event, the lava malka ceremony, lava malka meal, is the one in which we, Chazal tell us, we sustain the loose bone, right? The loose bone is sustained by that meal, and that is the bone from which Tchiyas HaMeisim occurs. Or is all the DNA data stored in that bone, and everything is recreated from that bone at the end of time. Even if the rest of the body disintegrates, then that bone is assumed to still exist. Now, of course, you know, one could talk about bodies which are incinerated, but it's not for now, it's not a discussion for today. So there's another, so the Luz bone, Luz was a city. And where's the city appear in Tanakh? Where's Luz appear in Tanakh? I'll give you a hint, it's in Parshas Bereishis. It's in Sefer Bereishis.
Wait, isn't this, does that have to do with Lot? No.
Somehow it's connected with
Moab and Malka. No, I don't know.
I'm
like it.
Something with Yaakov.
Says when Yaakov slept in the where he slept, he called the place Beit El, right? Right. But Luz was the place where Yaakov slept overnight. Okay? So Yaakov slept in Luz. Yaakov slept in Luz. This is the immortal city.
This is Yerushalayim.
What? No. It's not Yerushalayim. It's north of Yerushalayim.
Is the place where the Beit HaMikdash was?
No. It's not where the Beit HaMikdash was. It says that the land was folded underneath him, but he didn't sleep where the Beit HaMikdash was. He slept in Beit El, which is north of Yerushalayim.
I thought
this is Yerushalayim. What? Because he saw the ladder going up, but this was actually north, and the ladder started in Beer Sheva, Chazal say, and went above Yerushalayim, and then continued above Beit El.
Beit El is near Ramallah, right?
Somewhere around there, yeah.
I thought that the stones where he laid his head were the Mizbeach were.
Not that I'm aware of. Could be. Maybe according to one of the Medrash, but the Hadash Chumash is that it's the town of Beit El, there we know it is, which is somewhere near Ramallah. So Naaman, so the Lord is that name of the city, it's the name of the immortal city, it's the name of the city of Yaakov, and it also is the name of the bone from Lav HaMalka. And I should add that Lav HaMalka is associated with who? Who's
so
with Lav HaMalka?
David,
right? Whenever you eat Lav HaMalka, you're supposed to say, Dohi Su'udasa, the David Malkus HaMashicha. This is the meal of David, the King Messiah. So therefore, David is associated with Lav HaMalka. So we got a new, another MS thrown in here, another aspect of MS, which is David. Okay? So in order to explain how all these things come together, let's go back to the beginning of Chumash. Beginning of Chumash, it says, last week's parsha, Bereshis bara Elokim es ha-shamayim v'sa'aretz, v'aretz ha-sov v'avol l'choshech al-pnei sahom, v'ruach Elokim rachefes al-pnei amayim. Says that the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. What's Ruach Elokim? What does Rashi say? What's the Spirit of God? Sounds very Christian. Mashiach, that would be the Christian interpretation.
But does
it want to
say that?
Ruach HaShem
Mashiach?
I saw it.
What?
I don't know what it means,
but... No. So, the, Rashi says, it could be a Rashi, it does say it. I'm just kidding. But in any event, the, Rashi, it's not Rashi says. Rashi says, that what is the Ruach HaLokim? Rashi says, Kisei HaKadosh.
Equals
Kisei HaKavod. What's the Kisei HaKavod, guys?
The source of
Neshama. Kisei HaKavod is,
the
Neshama comes
from under the Kisei HaKavod.
Throne?
It's the throne of glory.
Throne of glory, right. Not the chariot. The throne. Metacarpus is the chariot. Okay. So the Kisei HaKavod is the throne. So, I think we spoke about this last, last month. God, what does God need a throne for? God doesn't fit. He doesn't have a body. He doesn't need a throne. So what is the throne? What does it mean, God, Kisei HaKavod? By the way, I have to tell you a cute thing. I don't think I told this to you. What is the word? This is my insight. Where does the word Kisei come from? Kisei means...
Kisui Rosh, like what? Covering your hair?
Yeah, it comes from covering, right? So what is a chair cover?
The ground?
What?
What does the chair cover?
No, a chair covers your back. But besides that, we'll think of the letters. The letters are, we'll think of your chair. The base of your chair is the tamach, and the back of the chair is the kaf. See that? Kisei. A case, kind of, but the aleph is a throwaway, because we know at the end of Parshas Kishalach, it says, Kiyad al case, ka milchamo Hashem amaleki dor dor. So it's that case is the chair, the kaf stomach is the chair, the aleph is putting in the name of God into the chair, which is lacking until Amalek is destroyed. But the kaf stomach is the chair. How do you like that? That's my invention. Sounds good?
Cute.
Okay. Cute. So anyway, so well, the question is, what is the throne of God? And obviously it must come from, as we just said, from covering. What's the covering up? What's the throne covering up?
Amen.
What?
Emes.
Do you have any proof of that?
No, not at all.
Supposedly the back of Hashem?
No, you're not supposed to see Hashem.
What?
You're not supposed to see Hashem. So the chair shields you from his...
Right, you can't see
from
Hashem.
From the Shalom.
The chair is the barrier, right? It's our perception of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There's one person, this thing which I just thought of right now as we're speaking. There's one person who is able to come to see the back side of God.
Moshe,
right? Well, it says in Parshas Kisa, where is it? Kisisa. It says that Ra'isas Achorai.
The
tefillin, whatever it was, yeah, the tefillin shall fill the backside of God, right? So it says about Moshe Rabbeinu that when he went up to Shamayim, he was able to hang on to the Kisei HaKavod. Now, whatever it means that he hung on to the Kisei HaKavod, it's not relevant to us right now. But it seems that what it means is, in a deeper sense, is that Moshe Rabbeinu was able to perceive things which were beyond the barrier. Not everything, but he was able to see things beyond the barrier, and that's why Chazal said that he got to Memtet Sharibina. He got very, very, as high as a person can get, in awareness of why things are the way they are. But most of us are subject to the Kisui. We are underneath the cover. And this is a fascinating thing, because our chairs, they really don't cover us in the same sense. That's why we had difficulty with how the word kisei is related to kisui. But, like every other word in Lashon HaKodesh, we have an axiom. that the words as they are used down here below are only a reflection of what the words mean in terms of the Olamos Elyonim, in terms of the upper realms. So therefore, in the upper realms, what does the chair do? In fact, it covers, right? It covers Hashem, things we don't perceive Hashem fully, right? Because we're looking from the bottom up, right? So in this world, even though most people don't look from the bottom up, right? Doesn't, you know, climb under a chair generally to see what's underneath. But nevertheless, the term kisei stuck to talk about a chair. But, nevertheless, the chair itself is called what? So covers God. We got that so far? God is covered by the chair. But the chair's full name is not just kisei. It's kisei hakavod. It's a fascinating thing. You'd figure that if the throne covers, it's not a big covered, right? What does it mean, kisei hakavod? Moreover, it says about whose image do Chazal say is engraved on the kisei hakavod? Yaakov Avinu, right? And the back means the back of the kisei, wherever that is, I don't know where it's engraved, but Yaakov Avinu's image is engraved on the kisei hakavod. It's a very strange thing. Right? What does it mean, Yaakov Avinu is engraved? Surely it's not literal, because there is no chair. The chair itself is not literal. So therefore, the image is not literal. But what is the meaning? What are Chazal trying to tell us? Yeah?
I'm sorry to interject, but I don't know if you're aware Rabbi Short is speaking according to
him. Oh, he is? You're right. Obviously, I wasn't aware. I was just getting warmed up.
That's
fine. Oh, what a bummer.
Does that have anything to do with Amos?
What?
Does that mean
that he's speaking 1/4 of him?
Yaakov and Amos.
Yes. That's what I want to get to. Yes. So, I'm going to have to, we'll have to come back to this tomorrow. But, because I didn't tie up anything right now.
Yeah.
Everything is just, there's no Amos on this board at all right now. So, in any event, the, yeah. What?
But I'm asking, something. What is this? Ruach?
Ruach Elohim. Rashi says that that's Kisei Hakavod. So what, to sum things up briefly, so we can go on from here tomorrow. So what I'm going to contend to you is basically along these lines, that the Kisei HaKavod is, as I would say, is made up of the Neshamos of Am Yisrael come from under the Kisei HaKavod. When the Neshamos of Am Yisrael complete their task, then they make up the Kisei HaKavod. And that's what Yaakov's image represents, because Yaakov represents the totality of the Jewish people. Why is that the Kisei HaKavod? Because the Kisei HaKavod is the honor of Hashem. Who brings the honor of Hashem into this world? The Jewish people. And, again, we'll have to go into detail, ultimately, whatever brings the Shekhinah down into the world, that's what we can define as Emes. Whatever connects the world to a greater sense, to a greater degree with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But we'll come back to this.
Is the opening of the Zman Shmuz?
Yeah, there's an MS in the park.